The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Bisquick. With Bisquick, you can make homemade pancakes and classic breakfasts for your family. Recipes at bisquick.com.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie. It was rather warm this last week. It was up in the 40s and the 50s, so the snow melted off the sidewalks and the roads, and then a wind came and blew the rest of it away. And so it was, it was a wonderful thing. Of course, people were able to walk around town finally without worrying about slipping, though this has its disadvantages too. In a town like Lake Wobegon, there's so many people you don't get along with, especially after winter. Everybody's in a cranky mood, and so you're always a danger of running into them if you go out for a walk. But we live on flat ground, so we're able to see people at a distance, and with so little foliage, there's always time, you know, to spot them coming up the street and make a sharp left and go around this block instead. Good to have bare sidewalks and streets, but it does pose an unemployment problem for men whose only job skill that was to shovel snow, you know. I mean, we complain about the work, but we count on it, and when it's no longer available to us and there's no need for us anymore, we miss it. People used to be so grateful to us for shoveling their walks and the excellent work that we did and the smooth edges that we made and the excellent job of scraping and sanding sidewalks. We miss it. It was the time of year when the snow has melted so that you can see the flotsam and jetsam that were left over, the trash that's out there in front yards. You see a lot of snow shovels that people thought had been stolen, but here they are. They were just, they were in the snow. They were trying to make their way to where they're needed. There were a lot of mittens there and candy wrappers and so forth and empty tin cans, and there was a term paper that was blowing down the street. People picked up pages of it. It was a term paper about drug addiction, and you thought, what a shame all this work should go to waste. And then you just read the page that blew into your hands, and you could see that the world's store of knowledge was nonetheless for the loss of this the loss of this term paper. We will get along very well. Clarence Bunsen had an odd experience in Lake Wobegon. There was this big fog on Thursday morning, a heavy winter fog, and he was driving through town. He was on his way to the Lutheran church to see Pastor Liz, and suddenly he couldn't make out any landmarks. He couldn't see the tower of the Catholic Church. He couldn't see the statue of the unknown Norwegian. He couldn't see the lights of the Mercantile nor the lights of the Chatterbox Cafe. For just a moment, he lost his way. He was completely lost in his own hometown where he's lived all of his life. He did not mention this to Pastor Liz for fear that it would wind up in a sermon as an illustration of something. She still has this pit bull there in her office at the Lutheran church. She's been dog-sitting for a while for Pastor John, who had been her replacement when she was on vacation. It's a big pit bull named Pumpkin, and it parks itself there in the doorway to her study in the basement of the church, which is useful, she finds out. There are many fewer visitors coming in to see her with this dog slavering there and lying on the rug, even though he's essentially harmless. But who knows, every dog has his bite. People not coming in who might otherwise have come in to ask her the questions that people ask a pastor, you know, could I have a song by U2 at my wedding in the spring, and this sort of thing, and is it okay for me to entertain my brother, even though he's divorced from his wife and he's now with somebody and we're afraid that he's going to bring her as well, and what room do we put him in, and what room should we put her in, and should I encourage my son to go into law enforcement, seeing as how in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus did say that we should turn the other cheek and not meet violence with violence. Is this all right? All these questions that that people ask, that they brood about, especially after the Sermon on the Mount has been the text as it was a week ago. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, so be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. All right, sure, thanks. Thanks for that. Be ye perfect. Wow. The thing is that he was speaking on the Mount, and we are living on flat ground, and so not all of it may be applicable. I mean, there are promises in there that have not been kept. Jesus said that the meek shall inherit the earth. And so far, all we have is Minnesota and North Dakota. So that's not really the whole deal. It was a big moon out this morning, early this morning, 3 o'clock this morning. I don't know if you were able to see it or not. It's the Indians called it the mood swing moon. It came at a time when hunting was very poor, and this challenged their masculine self-image, the Ojibwe. So they would get together in a fire circle, and they would talk about it. And so there's that time of year. It's a beautiful big moon up there. You look up at it and you think how much you would miss the moon if we didn't have it. There'd be nothing to look at when you feel sad. You just look out into the black otherwise. It's a great symbol of being bereft and lonely. And what would life be like if we weren't occasionally bereft and crashing down in sadness and feeling devastating sadness? Life would just be awfully, awfully flat. We need these contrasts. We need winter to make spring more beautiful to ourselves. You wonder about these people who took off in December, and they went down to Tucson and went down to Florida, and they're going to have a spring down there, and then they're going to come up here and have another spring. I call that gluttony. I call that narcissism. I just think it's wrong, that's all. You need winter to make spring good. You need some trouble in your life. Carl Krebsbach has been out all this week working with houses with ice dams. The snow on your roof thaws and it melts and forms pools of water, and then it freezes again and forms a dam in the gutter up on the roof. Nothing to be done about it, and the water backs up behind the dam, and then pretty soon you're lying in bed at night and you're dreaming about waterfalls and it's water which is running down the wall of your bedroom, and there's a big dark stain up on the ceiling. You're going to have to take all that plaster down. Those beams up there may be rotten. You just don't know. Clarence Bunsen was up on his roof, and he was shoveling the snow off, even though he's my age, and it horrified Arlene to see him up there. She said, hire a teenager to do that. They'll do that for you. You know, you don't worry about that. No, he had to go do it. You got to do that. If you are a man, this is your obligation. This is part of your duty. You give that to other people, the job of shoveling off your snow, and it's just you're going quicker down that slippery slope then, you see, that leads to people reaching for your elbow when you go down the stairs. That's the next thing then. And then they're going to take away your car keys at night. And then the next thing you know, you're being sent off to the Good Shepherd home to hang out with people you've been avoiding all your life. And it's a long path. So you have to shovel the snow off your roof. You went up there. It was late in the afternoon. It was hard work up there. He got about two-thirds of it shoveled off, steep, steep roof. And he just lay back to take a rest. He lay back against the roof, and he was just going to close his eyes, but he woke up about an hour later and the sun had gone down. It was just dark out there and he couldn't move. He was lying there with his heels braced in the gutters and lying back against the roof, and his coat had frozen to the shingles. It was a shearling coat, and the skin out, the fleece in, and it just frozen there. He was frozen in a crucifix position. He rolled from side to side. It wouldn't come loose. He rolled hard from side to side, and he heard a crunch in his back pocket. He'd busted his bottle of peppermint schnapps. He could feel it running down his right leg, and Now he knew what people would say when they found his cold, dead body up there. Went up there, he had a drinking problem, had a peppermint schnapps problem. Went up there, got drunk, pissed his pants. He assumed he was going to die. Arlene was down in the kitchen. He could smell supper coming out of the kitchen vent, the supper that he would never eat. He was ready to die, and then he saw her down below. She was standing in the snow. She said, "Are you finished?" He said, "I am, actually." She said, "You're going to come in?" He said, "I'm going to come in if I can get this coat loose. It's frozen to the roof." "Oh, mercy sake," she said. She came up the ladder fast as she could come. She came up and she climbed up, pulling herself over his body, hand over hand. She grabbed hold of that coat till she could reach that big zipper, and she pulled on it hard as she could, and he came leaking out of that coat. He came sliding down, she on top of him, mounted on him, and off the roof. Whoa, he went. And whoomp, into a snowbank. They jumped up, looked around. Nobody had seen this, so they went inside. They went inside. She ran him a hot bath. She made him a hot toddy. She put away the tuna casserole she'd been making for supper. She put that in the freezer. She got out a couple of steaks, and she nuked them, and she made big baked potatoes with sour cream, butter, chopped scallions, everything, the works. He took a hot bath. He came down in his blue velour bathrobe. He sat down at the table. Sat down. She put the feast in front of him. Death held off for one more day at least. He sat down. There was a knock at the door, the side door. Front door, they wouldn't care because they keep the front door locked in Lake Wobegon. That's the one the Jehovah's Witnesses use. The side door is unlocked, so you've got to go answer the door if they knock, because if you don't, they're going to come in anyway. So she opened the door. The constables walked in, Gary, Leroy. They said, "Are you okay?" Clarence said, "Sure, I am." They said, "Well, we saw this coat up on your roof." "Well," he said, "I put that up there myself," he said. "Oh," they said. "Yeah," he said, "it's a cougar trap. It's to catch cougars." They said, "Well, what do you use for bait?" He said, "Well, peppermint schnapps is what I use." That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.